of this little thing here. So, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. And when you've been out in the world all week, you come into the presence of the Lord, it's a nice place to be. And just to feel His touch in your life and to know that it's about Him and He's the one that's leading the way. And it's not you. And He's constantly drawing you to spend time with Him and just have a place this morning that we can come aside, set aside for the things of the Lord. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Shall we, let's just bow our heads in prayer at this time. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just come before You this morning, Lord, and welcome You, Lord. Lord, without You, Lord, we can do nothing, Lord Jesus, and it's You that's drawn our hearts, Lord. Lord, as we just yield ourselves to You this morning, Lord, and worship, Lord, and set our thoughts aside, Lord, and turn our eyes upon You this morning, Lord, that we might receive from You, Lord, and walk in Your word and live, Lord Jesus, Lord, and we can try and satisfy, Lord, the things in our lives, Lord, the lusts of the flesh, Lord, but it just doesn't work, Lord Jesus, and we just come before You once again this morning, Lord. Pray that You would break the bread of life to us this morning, and we commit all things into Your hands, Lord. Those that couldn't be here, maybe that wanted to be here, Lord Jesus, we pray a blessing upon them this morning, Lord. Lord, and those that couldn't make it, Lord Jesus, we just think of the Hughes family, Lord. Lord, that they would have wanted to be here as well, Lord, this morning, so we just remember them. And those that might listen in, we just commit all things into Your hands at this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. And then just on that, Bill has sent through his apologies that he wouldn't be here this morning, but he would be listening to one of the services. But praise the Lord. Let's sing number 372 in the Only Believe. You ask me why I'm happy.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I met the scoffers, you ask me where they are. I say my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. And far in the night's darkness is my throne. In the sea of God's forgiveness. Was at the old time altar where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone, and the position that ever did depart, I pray, my sins are gone, there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness. Of God's forgiveness that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. When Satan comes to tempt me and tries to make me down, I say, my sins are gone. You got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. I pray, my sins are Jesus, I'm happy night and day, because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music, with all my heart I sing. I know my sins are gone. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far as darkness is gone. God's forgiveness that's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are
might sing the chorus again.
There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far in as darkness is from gone, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is that good enough for you? In the sea of his forgetfulness? Praise the Lord. Let's sing number 204, There's Coming a Day.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come.
Forward to that day. Let's sing number 703. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Excuse me. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Oh, how sweet to trust in Thee.
It's easy to trust him when it's going good, I can tell you that much. But when it's all caving in, or it feels like it is, that's when you need to trust him the most, isn't it? It's always good when you're feeling good, but when you're not feeling good, that's the challenge. But you find that he never lets you down, for sure. Let's sing number 232. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I meet. Oh, what a tender compassion and grace.
Thank you.
light was turned today. Praise the Lord. Let's sing number 604 and then I'll ask Sister Pauline if she'd bring an item. Was there any other items this morning from anyone else? Okay.
If we never meet again on this earth, my precious friend, and if we meet again, and if the Bible sings,
for a world of
Amen. Praise the Lord. The old rugged cross never gets old. And the song never ceases to move on your heart, especially if it's a reality to you, where His blood run down for you and cleansed you from every sin. I'm just going to bring the prayer request now and ask if Brother Tom wouldn't mind praying for them. There's not many. There's one here from Sister Peggy Dale from Lula, Georgia, is in hospital tonight with coronavirus USA. She is a pastor's wife. Please pray for her healing, and please pray that she comes home from hospital soon. And that's from Sister Angie Brown. So I'll remember her this morning, and we'll just There's one here. It's probably more of a confession rather than a prayer request. Please pray, or testimony rather. Please pray for me and with me. I just thank you, Jesus, right now for bringing healing to my joints, my tissues, my cells, and my fibers of my being. Father, I thank you that you are my deliverer, that back pain has to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. And that's from Raymond. And praise the Lord, there's power in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's not all power belongs to him and through his name. And we'll just remember to uplift Israel before the Lord. Now, was there any unspoken prayer request or spoken this morning? Brother Peter, is it unspoken? Any unspoken, raise your hands. Amen. Thank you, Brother Tom, if you wouldn't mind coming, bring these. The Lord knows. He knows all things. I think it's many of the time that we forget it. And he cares for us for sure. Thank you, Brother Tom.
Thank you, Father God. Father God, we come and give him more praise and glory. For we uplift his name up high above the heavens, Father God. Father, we thank you, Father God, for your blessings upon our people. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing over those who are in hospital, Lord. For our brothers and sisters, for their needs, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your blood that washes over them. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you and ask of anything, and it shall be given. Because your words say so, Lord. And we stand on the promises of your words, Lord, for your healing power and love over your people, Lord. Lord, we come and give you praise and glory for the work of your hands, Lord. For we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for our loved ones that who are not here, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you will just bless them. Lord, we give you praise and glory for your holy name, Lord, for the work that you are doing within all our loved ones, Lord, and for the blessing over this church, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the double portion that is given to us this day, Lord. Lord, we come and give all praise and glory, for we just thank you, Lord. We give all praise and glory to your holy name, Lord. Lord, without you, we are nothing, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your healing power over us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you are doing within us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation that is to come, Lord. Lord, we give all praise and glory that you will open doors for this salvation to come forward, Lord. To come to the cross where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, we come and give all praise and glory to his holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Let's sing number 461, Thou Art Worthy.
Thou art worthy. Thank you.
Let's just sing number 50 in the restoration, and then I'll ask Brother Harold to come. Burn, burn, Holy Spirit.
Burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. My heart on fire.
Maybe seated. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise be to God. We just pray the Lord will be with us and we feel the power. That's what we need, is the power. And I pray that He'll bring it to us this morning. God bless you all. It's good to be here. Missing Brother Charlie, though. Where's Charlie? Got the flu. Well, cast that out of him. Yeah, amen. Wow, I miss him very much. Everyone else feeling good? Praising the Lord? Amen. Well, we just come to Him this morning and pray that He'll speak to our hearts. We're living in quite a time, aren't we? Quite a time. And I pray that God will speak to us this morning through His Word, which is very up to date. God's Word is always up to date. And I pray that He will speak to us through His Word. So I wonder if we could just stand for the reading of God's Word from Revelation chapter 22. We're going to the last verse in the Bible. It's like we've read it all. Now we're going to come to the last verse, and there's something very important here. Revelation 22 verse 12 says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." This is the Lord Jesus speaking to us. "To give every man according to his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Isn't that wonderful? He's just all ever present. He's with us this morning in this building. Did you know that? Because if you know that, you can get help from Him. Don't just come to church, sit down in a pew. God is here to bless. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Amen. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that hath thirst say, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book, very serious. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testified these things saith, truly, I come quickly, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We go to verse 20 again. He which testifieth these things saith, truly, I come quickly, even so, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. Now, you won't forget that scripture, will you? Why won't you forget it? Because it's written in the back. Surely I come quickly, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. So that's what we're going to speak about today. I pray that God will speak to us clearly from his word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we humbly come before thee. Lord, how we need thee in this hour, Lord. We always do need you, Lord. We're just dust without God. And Lord, I just pray that you'll come and make your word live in my heart firstly, Lord, and live in the brothers and sisters' heart, those that will be joining with us, wherever they are around the world, may they also be challenged, Lord. Well, these are tremendous times foretold to be this way, and I pray, God, that you'll help us all to be ready for the coming of the Lord, for surely you come quickly. Lord, just bless each one. Give us strength, Lord. Give us your anointing and unction of the Holy Spirit. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I've just entitled this, The Bible's Last Message. The Bible's Last Message. He's coming. Now that's very important. We've said if you give a message to somebody, it's really important that they get the message, then you repeat it just before you leave. Repeat it again. The Lord is coming.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who's glad he's coming?
Amen.
So may he do that for us. And God felt it necessary to write this final word. The final word in the final chapter of the Bible, so as people won't forget it. He's coming quickly. Now, this is not a joke. The Lord is coming quickly. You're not going to have time to get ready. You must be ready. Jesus said, be ye therefore ready for an hour when you think not. When you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So we just want to take this quite seriously this morning. And I believe that God has written it in the Bible. What was the last thing you read? Surely I come quickly. Even so, come Lord Jesus. There definitely is an urgency to be ready. Now, if this doesn't apply to you, that's fine. But I tell you what, it applies to me. I want to be ready. Who wants to be ready? Because when he comes, as you know, Brother Taz, when he comes, we won't have time. Jesus said, be ye therefore ready. It's going to be quick. Twinkling of an eye. Tenth of a second. Gone. And I don't want to be guilty on the day of judgment of not proclaiming the truth of God's word and telling you all, myself, and warning us that we need to be ready. You and I must totally be absorbed and longing for this great event, the greatest event in history. We are living in a tremendous time. This doesn't happen every 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years. This is a one-off. God comes down. Our bodies are going to be changed. Brother Peter, isn't that wonderful? Our bodies will be changed. And this corruptible shall put on incorruption. We'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds. Now, to me, this is very important. I tell you one thing. You may miss out on a lot of things in life. A lot of opportunities. A lot of jobs, or whatever you want to say. There's one thing you want to be sure of. Not to miss this. Now, we've been warned. I want to hear my voice come out on the day of judgment, proclaiming the truth. You need to be ready. And this may be your last warning. I don't know. I pray not. But I want to be ready. And I pray that God will help us to catch the urgency of it. Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good to us? He brings these things on our heart to speak about very definitely. And I pray that it will have an effect on each one here and afar. So how do you know you'll be a part of the rapture, which is at hand? How do you know you belong to God? How do you know you do not belong to the world? I tell you what, I do not belong to this world. You're looking at an alien. I don't live here. I come from another city whose builder and maker is God. And we're going to go back there. Jesus said, I come here and I go back to my Father. And so do we. We came from God in the beginning and we're going back to God. So I thank the Lord that He's made a way for us to go back. He's cleaned us and made us pure by His shed blood at Calvary. That gives us a righteousness and an entrance into the kingdom. So we do not belong to this world. And by an unquenchable desire to get out of here, to be with your Lord. I want to say something is happening, brother and sister. I pray by the grace of God it's happening to you. I realize not everybody has this. But if you're a child of God, something starts stirring. We're getting really close. The train's coming into the platform. We look up and we know we've got 5 minutes. I'm just as an illustration. I want to say something about that too. You can be at the platform. You can be at the station waiting. That doesn't mean you're going on the train. You've got to be ready to catch this quick catching away by the mercy and grace of God. So something's happening now. Something is beginning to take place in the true believer's heart. A deep cry from the soul. I come quickly. Even so, come Lord Jesus. So the last message in the Bible is very clear. One focus. One focus is His coming. We read it. It's on the board behind me. I come quickly. The last verse. I come quickly, even so come Lord Jesus. And so we see that this is something we need to really think about today. That God will quicken it to our hearts and make it real to each one to be ready. We're not focused on a prophet's coming. We're focusing on the Lord's coming. You know, John the Baptist said, I must decrease, He must increase. You know, Malachi 4 was sent to prepare the bride for the coming of the Lord. I believe that. The Bible says so. And the angel's last message on earth, when they came down and there were the disciples, the angel's last message was this. The same Jesus will come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He's taken up, and now standing in a cloud received him out of their sight. That's the way he's coming. We're not going to see him down here on earth. We're going to meet him in the air. Hallelujah. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's what we live for. We don't want to just be churchies. Oh, we go to church. It's more than that. It's knowing Christ and being ready for him. For he's coming for his bride. Blessed be his holy name. So many parables about his coming. We quoted before, Jesus said, be therefore ready. Be ready. Why? Why does he keep emphasizing this? Be ready. Because it's going to be so quick. Too late to get to church. Too late to get down to praying or whatever you're meant to be doing. Too late. We'll speak more of that later. We have to be in one spirit with Christ. We've got to love him and walk with him and commune with him daily. We have to be of the same mind. I love the scripture. I quote it all the time. Philippians 2:5, which says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want to think like him. I want to talk like him. I want to judge things, situations like he would have. I just want to have his mind. So we pray that the same mind, by having the Spirit, is in you. That's the only way you got to get the mind of Christ, is to be full of the Holy Ghost. You know, brother and sister, we appreciate the fellowship we have one with another. We appreciate the Word of God. We appreciate everything God has sent to us, given us. But we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll do all that His Word says. You won't miss anything out because you have the mind of Christ. What He says, that's what you'll do. You don't question it, reason it. If He said it, I believe it. So may God help us to see that. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Our desire and God's desire will come, become so intense together. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Both are waiting, longing for him to come. He wants to come. The bride wants him to come. There's got to be such a unity. You know, it's number one on your heart. You don't want to have this on your heart and that on your heart, taking up all your time and all your thinking. It's all about this and all about that. I want to see the coming of the Lord. I want to be ready to go with him. And don't let anything stop you. You've got to police it in your life. You've got to watch it. You get caught up with stuff so quickly. Oh, yes. Really horrible. Anything to distract you from his coming. So it says that the Spirit and the bride say, come. Our desire and God's desire have become to come together. Both will cry, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want you to come. Lord, we want you to come. If you come today, be fine with me, Lord. I want to go now. Who wants to go? Or, are you happy with the things the way they are? That's good, Sister Leah. Get that head going. It's not. We're not happy with the things the way they are. We have one purpose, one desire, is the coming of the Lord. They can have the world. They can have all its pleasures, short-term pleasures. I want Christ. I want to walk close to him. What's our relationship with our heavenly bridegroom? You know, when a man and a woman get married, they're working up. There's a great desire building up in them because they want to get married. They're really in love with one another. They want to please one another. They want to be together with one another. All their conversation is about one another. And if you are a bride of Christ, the chosen, elected children of God, you become the bride, and he's the bridegroom. And when they come, when he's coming, your whole thoughts and everything is about him. Your whole desires, your whole motives, everything is about him and his word. We are one with him. We have become totally one with him. We are one with Christ. He is not way up in the beyond, way up in space beyond the Milky Way or something. No, he's with me now. Is he with you? It's got to be that way. So when he comes, you're not a stranger. Or when he comes, he's not a stranger. You have a daily communication with him. You know him. I love what Jesus put it real clear. John 17:22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. That's you and I. The glory which God gave the Son, he has given us. That they may be one. You and I may be one, even as we are one. Talking about the Lord and the Son. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and has loved them as thou hast loved me. You see, brother and sister, we don't come to know this Jesus of Nazareth way 2,000 years ago and, oh, yeah, I've heard about it. I read about that. No! He wants you to be integrated now with him by the Spirit. Walking with him. We're one with him. We're not just a casual acquaintance. We're sons and daughters of God. He's our Heavenly Father, and he's coming for them. If you want to be it, you've got to be a son of God. And how do you get a son of God? By receiving what he has done for you. Isn't that simple? You got to mean it with all your heart. We're not one with one another in a sense. You are one with Christ. When you're one with Christ, then you're one with one another. He is the mediator. He's the one that brings the oneness. It's his Spirit in each other. That's what makes us one. So this is a spiritual unity by the Holy Ghost birth. I in you, Jesus said, and you and me. And we are one with his word. Now that's so important. You say, I'm one with the Lord and disobey his word? He is the word. Who believes that? If you believe the Bible, you'll read it. He is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word was God. This is God in print. It's got to come out of that printing into your heart by the Holy Spirit. So we're one with him. There's a spiritual unity by the Holy Ghost. We're one with his word. One with his end time plan. Whatever God's doing now, I want to be a part of it. Who wants to be a part of God's end time plan? One with the message of the hour. Not saying something different, just say what God says. This is the time we're living in. One with what God is doing now. Too many, I believe this is so true, and I heard somebody speaking on this once. Too many are living in the past. It's not living in the past, it's living what God's doing now. We want to be on the right track with the God's what God is doing now. You want that, Brother Tom? Oh, with all our hearts. What God is doing now is what we want to be a part of. Praise be to God. I just love him for that. Do you want to hear the bridal call? Only those who are in tune will hear the call. Because when God speaks and you're in tune with Him, you'll hear Him. The bride speaks the same word as the Spirit does. Because she's a word bride, because she's a part of Christ, she's a word bride, because He is the Word, we know. Proving that she has the Spirit. Now, Jesus will have to come before it's too late. Brother and sister, please don't take this lightly. He'll have to come before it's too late. Time is running out. Now, we'll read about this. The Bible says God will have to take His elect off the earth before they are destroyed. You think it's bad out there? That's just the beginning. We turn to Matthew 24. We'll listen to what Jesus said in the last days, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not was since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. The world have no idea of the horror that's coming. They think, oh, coronavirus, oh, the riots in America. That's nothing. We need to be filled with the Spirit to get out of here. There's no other way, brother and sister. You've got to be filled with the Spirit. Coming to this church is not going to change it. You've got to be filled with the Spirit. And so we see, there'll be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, nor night. Jesus said, neither shall be. Ever shall be. This is the worst time we're facing. I don't want to frighten you, but I want to say to you that there's a way out this morning. But you've got to be serious about it. You've got to have that passion for His coming. The Spirit and the bride say, come. You're looking for the coming of the Lord. That is your only hope. So we see, and except, He said, Jesus speaking, except those days, that's now, except these days should be shortened, cut down, there should be no flesh saved. That's serious reading. That's thus saith the Lord. But for the elect's sake, the bride, the elect, the children of God, those days shall be shortened. You know, I often wonder whether that has anything to do with how time goes so fast. Who thinks time goes fast? Weeks go through like days. Is that true? No, I don't think it's that. I just think that God's going to shorten the whole process down. Otherwise, nobody will be saved. But for the elect's sake, the bride of Christ's sake, these days shall be shortened. The world's going to get worse, far beyond from what you see now. Now, brother and sister, you've heard a lot of stuff on the news, whatever. It's all very morbid. But it's going to get worse than they think. And I don't want to start prophesying about it because I believe God's already prophesied about it. His word's very clear. We just read it. But I want to read you something pretty amazing because it was spoken by, I believe, a real messenger, an angel of the Lord, just like they went down to Sodom, and that was Billy Graham. I believe he was an angel that went down to Sodom. Him and Oral Roberts inspired men. Now listen to what this man of God said. Each generation, this was spoken in 2018, before he died, of course, obviously. Each generation faces different issues and challenges, but our standard must always be measured by God's word. I thought that was really good counsel. Who believes that's amen? Amen. Must be measured by this. If it's not in the book, forget it. Now it says here, he goes on to say, on Tuesday, this was a report. Billy Graham leveled deep criticism at the United States. This is like his last message to America. He compared the country to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the truth. I'm not against America for itself. There's some very fine people over there. But that country's in a bad way. So are we. So is England. So is many other countries. But he said, we compare the country to Sodom and Gomorrah, the biblical cities synonymous with sin. Self-centered indulgence, pride, and lack of shame over sin are now emblems of the American lifestyle. Billy Graham writes in the open letter released by the organization this week. He blasts what he sees as efforts to keep references to Jesus out of the public sphere. Is that true? New Zealand, that true? Yes. Taken out the schools, everything. So it's the same demon moving around the world. Our society strives to avoid any possibility of offending anyone, he says, except God. That is so true. You can't say this, you can't say that, political correctness. Anything that's going to offend people, we can't do it. But they don't care about God. They say what they like. This is what he says. Our society strives to avoid any possibility of offending anyone except God. Yet the farther we get from God, the more the world spirals out of control. Is that happening? He writes in a letter released Tuesday, Billy Graham, 99, has preached to untold millions over six decades, provided counsel to generations of U.S. presidents. I just believe he is called and chosen messenger. That, what he said, he's been wanting to say to America for a long time. Yeah, I have one more message for America, and that was it. Sodom and Gomorrah. And what happened after Sodom and Gomorrah? Fire came down and destroyed those cities of the valley. And brothers and sisters, I want to say to you, the fire is coming upon this world. The judgment of God will come. So what we need to do is get ready to get out of here and to be sure that we're walking close to God. We want His coming. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come, Lord Jesus." The bride will be raptured to glory just before the tribulation sets in. Fully sets in. What then, brothers and sisters? I want to ask you some questions. What then? What will your projects mean then? What will your worldly interests mean then? What will our pet doctrines mean then? Then let me ask, what will the prayer meetings mean then? What will the fellowship of the saints mean then? Everything. The day is coming, I believe, that we could have meetings here every day of the week for people so hungry for God. I can't make that happen. God's going to do that. It'll be wonderful. In Hebrews chapter 10 to verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more, as we see the day approaching, we are watching it just starting to cave in. We need to get together. Here we sit in our little comfort zone. Now, brothers and sisters, please don't think I'm judging you. I'm judging myself. We're sitting here in our little comfort zone. It's so easy to sit back. Oh, yes, I love the Lord. I'm a child of God. Everything's sweet and dandy. The Holy Spirit's bringing something to us this morning. We're in our comfort zone. But that's going to end, saints. That comfort zone will end. The pressure will mount against the bride of Christ. It's going to. The squeeze will come down on her. You know, in the United States, I saw an interview with one of their senior men. And they were saying, how come that these people don't allow you because of the coronavirus? I don't like saying that word. I hate talking about it, to be honest. We can't have you go to church. You cannot have worship. You've got to stay right away from each other. But they allow the rebels to get together by the thousand and burn the place down. Something is wrong. I'll leave off that subject. It's coming. They're against us going to church. The day could come, they'll close this church down. But they cannot close our fellowship with God down. Hallelujah. Won't that be wonderful? To be so full of the Spirit, being led of God. The squeeze will come down on her just like Israel is experiencing now. Fellowship with real believers will be the most precious thing on this planet. Don't take it lightly, brother and sister. Redeem the time. Make good use of the opportunity you have. Don't say, I'm too tired to go. You get up and go to church. Slothful, Laodicean spirit, lukewarm. You know what this pressure will do? It'll sort out the true believers. That's what it's going to do. It'll sort out the true believers. Filter out all man-made doctrines and increase the true love of God in every believer's heart. When that happens, we will see the power of God. Hallelujah. Got a really good quote here which says, when that time comes, what I was speaking about, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you have seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. When people start to walk close to God, we're going to see the power of God. Won't be worked up, beat it up. We don't want that. We've seen all that over the years. But God will come down in power and do wonderful works. And then we'll be caught away. Who believes that? Say amen. Let it be, Lord. So a deep desire should be stirring in the bride right now. I pray if something's happening in your heart. I cannot do it. I cannot talk you into this. It has to be a moving of the Spirit of God in your life. God's real. Who believes He's real? God is here and He creates a desire. You people out there on the video, it's for you too. Hallelujah. Let's say praise the Lord. So the deep desire for His coming is the first stages of rapture. He actually puts the desire in there. Oh Lord, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I want to get out of here. The five wise virgins went out to meet the bridegroom prepared. They were ready to meet the bridegroom. And then the parable Jesus gave, Matthew 10. 25, sorry. Matthew 25, verse 24, the 13, I think. Read it anyway, you should know it anyway. They went out to meet him, and they were prepared. They waited under expectation for his return. They took it very seriously. They went out with their lamps. Well, he's coming soon. Where is the bridegroom? Jesus Christ said he's coming now. This is the age of His return. Amen. You don't have to be very spiritual. It's obvious, written all over the place, on the news everywhere. So this is a serious matter, brothers and sisters. You're going to have to reduce some inventory. You need to check up. I need to check up daily. The rapture is only for those who have a hunger for His coming. If you're not hungering for His coming, you're in a bad way. Seriously. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not for me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. These people are going to be ready to go. The bride will be ready to leave. Hallelujah. So I'm believing that one day you'll see me, next day you won't. I pray that you'll be with us. But it's going to be that quick, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's what, 10 seconds? A tenth of a second, sorry. No time for the prayer meeting then. No time to wait on God then, fast and pray. No, you've got to be ready. Jesus said, be therefore ready for an hour when you think not the Son of Man cometh. They not only love His appearing, they're not only waiting for Him, but they're watching for His appearing. Like I said to you about that railway carriage. Person went down to catch the train. Went down to the station. I thought the train would be here now. It's not here. Oh, well, I'll just wait a bit longer. And he found a form and he laid down on the form. And while he's on the form, waiting for the train, he fell fast asleep. And if you've been overseas and seen these trains, they come in real fast. Quiet too. They come in, doors open, people come off, and some get on very quickly. Doors close. This man wakes up. He says, what time is this train coming? He said, they said, it's already been and gone. The rapture's going to be like this. It's already been and gone, and they didn't even know it. He said, but I was waiting here. I came earlier, and I've been waiting for the train. He said, but were you watching for it? Waiting and watching. What an example. We want to just not be waiting for the coming Lord, but watching for it. Watching how we live. Watching how we speak. Waiting on Him. Brothers and sisters, I really want this to be all a part of me and a part of you. We're going because of His grace and mercy, but He's told us how to get ready. What did Jesus say in regard to His coming? Mark 13:32. But of the day and the hour, no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. No one knows when He's coming. But take heed. Sit up and take notice. Watch, watch, and pray. For you know not when the time is. He may come today. Are you ready? He may come next week. Are you ready? Oh, I've got this to do. Are you ready? Mark 13:35. He says again, watch ye therefore. We know not what, you know not when the master of the house cometh. At evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping on the platform. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So you can say, I'm waiting for the coming of the Lord. I've been waiting for 8 years. But are you watching? It's getting so close. I've got to be watching. Myself, my family's got to be watching. Everyone's got to do the watching. The Spirit and the bride say, come. We want to be there. Watch, he says. Jesus said that. What I say unto you, I say unto all, A-double-L, watch. You came to church? Lovely. That's wonderful. You're good to your neighbor? That's great. You paid your tithes? That's great. But that's nothing to do with it. You've got to be watching for the coming of the Lord. And many will be caught sleeping. I'm sorry to say this, but that's what the Bible says. Many will be caught sleeping. What a tragedy. Went to meet the Lord and fell asleep while they were waiting. So you could be waiting and falling asleep in the process. They let their lamps burn low and they went out. Too many cares of this life clouded out with a desire. Clouded out, the desire of come quickly was clouded out with so many things happening. It's for me and it's for you. And we're all going to be accountable individually. You're going to have to give your own account. I'm going to have to give my own account. My wife has to give her account. It's too late in the day to be out of fellowship, out of prayer, and getting ready. Too late. You've got to be doing it. They will be caught unawares when things suddenly start happening. In Luke 21:32, pretty amazing scripture, really. Lord speaking, verily I say unto you, this generation, which is this generation, the generation of his coming, our generation, shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares, or unawares asleep, not with it. He's saying, for as a snare, as a trap, shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That is prophecy from Christ himself. Watch ye therefore. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I want to read you this from the Amplified Bible because it brings it out a bit more. Truly I tell you, this generation, those living at the definite period of time, that is us, we know, will not perish and pass away until all has taken place. The sky and the earth, the universe of the world will pass away, but my words will not pass away, Jesus said. But take heed to yourselves and be on your guard, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed, weighed down with the giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness, worldly worries, and cares pertaining to this life. And lest that day come upon you suddenly like the face of the entire earth. Keep awake then, and watch at all times, and be discreet and attentive and ready, praying that you may have the full strength and ability and be accounted worthy to escape all these things, taken together. It'll take place and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. Can't get it much clearer. That's what Jesus said. The Lord that created the universe said that. It's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is saying, come. What about you? Do you have a deep burning desire for Jesus to come? Or, as I said before, are we happy with the way things are? We're just quite cruising along in our little comfort zone. Everything's going good for us. If you do not, you have a serious problem. The Bible says the Spirit and the Bride, the Holy Spirit and the Bride of Christ say, come. It's a universal, it's a desire, a unity of the Holy Spirit and the Bride of Christ. It'll all happen very quickly. I cannot even begin to think the horror of being left behind. I cannot even think of it. But by the grace of God, you'll take us, Brother Taz. I'm trusting in His mercy. He'll come quickly. There'll be no time to get ready. The foolish virgins found that out. There's no time to get ready. When they came back, the foolish virgins, they heard that he'd already gone. Taking the bride to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Bible says both the Spirit and the Bride will have this great desire. Then without warning, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We're going to see those that have passed on come out of the graves. This is so wonderful. I cannot begin to express it. But I want to know one thing. By the mercy of God, I want to be a part of this. I've often said, what if my father and mother came into this church one Sunday morning? We knew they had risen. They might look the same. They'll look really young, and the glory of God will be on them. I tell you, brother, we won't be going back to work on Monday. When we see a risen saint, we know we're out of here. Hallelujah. Who loves the Lord? And so we see this will take place. He said, I'll come quickly. Quickly. The thief in the night. You're not going to get a letter, an email saying I'm coming tomorrow. I'll come as a thief. And those that are ready will go with me. His bride will surrender all in their life to be ready. Whatever it takes. While the mercy doors are open, like in the days of Noah, enter in, give them first place in your heart, saints. Only 8 souls. Now this is a scary part of the sermon, but listen carefully. In the days of Noah, 8 souls of planet Earth made it. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. A warning. 8 people. That's all the converts he got after preaching 120 years. We're warned. It's all there. It's full of it. And this is just a tiny bit. There's a lot more in the Bible speaks about this. The greatest event the world has ever known is when he comes to take his people home. Without warning. We will know that this is it when we see the risen saints. We have no time to get ready. No. We must be ready. Matthew 25:10. And while they went to buy, foolish virgins went to get the oil. They wanted the Holy Ghost experience. They'd left it too late and started seeking for the Holy Spirit. It was too late. Oh, God be merciful to us all. While they went to buy, while they were away trying to get an experience that they should have had ages ago, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And God closes the door like he did in the days of Noah. That's it. Noah opened the door, they screamed, they scratched the side of that ark. Heard some dramatic sermons on that. They screamed, "Noah, open the door." And Noah yelled back, "I can't open the door. I never closed it. God shut the door." Things to be ready for that wonderful hour. Who wants to go home? We're going up. I don't want, you know, brothers and sisters, the world has nothing for us. They can have, we'll say, "Goodbye, world, goodbye." We're going. Hallelujah. Who wants to go? Raise your hand. Well, I've got a good crowd here that's going to go with us. I pray that every one of you will be. By his love, mercy, and grace to us all. We're going to that wedding in the sky. You can ask God to increase your desire. "Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Increase my desire." Those that were waiting for his coming, it says. Those that desired it. This bride will surrender all to be ready. While the mercy doors are open, even this morning, like in the days of Noah, they entered in. Give him first place in your heart, saints. He wants first place in your life, not second, third, first place. May God be gracious to us. That door was opened for weeks and months. They could just walk up that plank. It would have been open for a long time. All the animals had to come. They had to get on the elephants and the giraffes, and everybody had to get on board. It was a big ship. I saw it. I saw that ark when I was in Louisville, Kentucky. And it was a huge boat. 3 stories. They could have held them easily because they had it built exactly to the measurements. But they waited for 3 weeks and months. I could see the young people say, "Are you coming, Janet?" "Oh, I'd like to, but Mum and I, Dad and I, we think we'll just watch a bit." When you start watching and waiting, you're waiting to go on, but you're not convinced. You got to be convinced and concerned that you're going. When you're convinced about this, then you'll be concerned about it. If you're not convinced, you'll just say, "Oh, yeah, very good." But a child of God is thirsting and hungering to go. They did not have a desire to leave the sinful world. And they were drowned, every one of them. Millions died. And there was a ship waiting for them. Christ is coming. And people are chasing the world. Doing what the world wants. Won't work. They had too many things happening in their lives. They left it too late. Do you say as we close this morning, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus." As the sign says, Jesus is saying, "Come." He's waiting on us to quickly get ready. I've got to get ready even tonight. Tomorrow, I've got to be ready. Tuesday, I've got to be ready. Because he might come on Wednesday. I want to be ready. Shall we just stand for prayer? Spirit and the bride say, "Come." He that is athirst may come. I'll tell you one thing. The Lord Jesus Christ will never force you. Never force you. People are going to pull their hair out on that day. Screaming. Wail. Why? Why didn't I listen to what the Word of God said? which has been very clearly written in the scriptures. All that Jesus said, that is many more scriptures confirm what I've said this morning. You've got to be waiting and watching, getting serious with God, and God will be serious with you. Lord Jesus, we come, bring this word to you, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'll speak to every heart here, those that are listening outside, wherever they are too, Lord. May they not escape the seriousness of this hour and the moment that the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to the church. Lord, we give this to you for your glory. Please move upon us, Lord. Move upon me, Lord. Lord, give me a hungering and a thirsting in my soul. Well, when you come, Lord, there'll be no time then. You said, be ye therefore ready, for an hour when you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Just bless each one, we pray. Help us, Lord, for your glory. Amen. Each time I stop and take the time to look around me, I see the signs of his appearing everywhere. It's just everywhere. It's everywhere. The things he said would come to pass are now before us. Yes.
And I feel a strange excitement.
Here this morning like prayer. This is your business, not ours. You'd like to do business with God this morning. I'm giving that opportunity. While you have the opportunity, before he comes, to be ready. Maybe you need to repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to feel the Holy Ghost. Whatever it is. You want to make be sincere with God. You be honest with God, and he'll be honest with you. The day is coming. We've got to face the issue. We need to be ready. He died for you, saved you, but he wants you to accept it. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning. Oh, anybody else want to leave?
could sing number 356, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Well, if you're lifting your voice, you're not asleep or dreaming, you're holding on. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Take joy, my King.
To God. One of these days, this will be the last service you'll ever be at. It's going to happen. We just need to be ready. Be ye therefore ready. For an hour when you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Jesus said that. You believe what he said. I love you, Lord.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've given us today. We know, Lord, that it's the truth because you've confirmed it to us. And the fact that it is the truth, and absolutely the truth, there's something touches our heart. Lord, we thank you that you reminded us and made us aware of where we stand with you. Just be with the people that were listening in, Lord, at their time of listening. We know, Lord, that you love us and you're with us. I know that, Lord, because anybody that's thinking about the Lord, just thinking about you, wherever they are, day or night, old or young, if they're thinking about Jesus, he's right there. He's right with you. Lord, we just need to claim that love. Help us, Lord. Just bless us, Lord, as we fellowship together over at lunch, Lord. Be with us for the 1 o'clock service. And just be with the people as they go. We want to be reverent, Lord, in this auditorium. Help us, Lord, to be respectful. If we could see you with our eyes, Lord, we wouldn't be talking. We'd be thinking about you. Help us to go quietly, Lord, with great respect in this auditorium as we leave. Thank you, Lord, for the luncheon that you've provided for us and the fellowship. We ask these things in your precious and holy name. Let's sing 354 as we go. Jesus, just the mention of your name. Flowers grow, and you just go as you feel to go. Jesus, just the mention of your name. Flowers grow, the desert blooms again.
Just the mention.